Yo, today on NTV Cribs, we'll be going through God's house, yo, and checking out all this stuff. All right, no, not really. But this is kind of like an edition of NTV Cribs. I mean, we're going to walk through the temple today. As we look through God's house, we're going to look at the temple furnishings a lot like they do on MTV Cribs, where they say, hey, check out my stuff. And each piece of God's furniture needs an explanation, so it's going to feel a little bit like that. But instead of opulence and waste like you see on that TV show, we get to look at furniture with a purpose, meant to communicate something of inestimable value. And when you see it, you realize that all the gold and precious metals can't really do it justice. It was just the best material that they had to work with. Yet Hebrews tells us that these were all just pictures and shadows at best of the real thing. The real things themselves were actually in the heavens. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and read a little bit more about the true temple. Hebrews 10 tells us, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves, verse 1. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. First, he said, verse 8, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. This is Paul actually commentating now on that passage. Though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first, meaning the sacrifices, to establish the second. In other words, his own sacrifice. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest, speaking of Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So as you came through the Old Testament temple, the very first thing you came to was the altar, the place where your sacrifice for sin was made. Then you came to the bronze lavers. Why were there bowls holding up the bronze laver? Well, it was the most expensive form of sacrifice. In other words, our salvation is costly. It's free to us, but it costs Jesus everything. There were 12 bowls holding up that big laver. And by laver, we mean a giant bowl filled with water. And as you peered down, you would see the dirt all over you. And then you would know, I'm dirty and I need to approach God to be completely cleansed and forgiven. Well, there was 12 bowls, one for the atonement of each tribe, which was made, as the passage said, daily. And you would look into the bronze reflection because the bottom of the laver was polished like a mirror. And you would see the dirt on yourself. Then you would wash. But coming into the light, you saw that the blood of bulls and goats could not wash away your sin because there would still be more dirt. The more and more symbolism that you had in the Old Testament, the more that it packed a powerful picture of the gospel in it. Verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 4 says, he made the courtyard of the priests and the large court and the doors for the court, and he overlaid them with bronze. He placed the sea on the south side at the southeast corner. Now the sea was another name for the laver. And verse 11 says, and Huram also made pots and shovels and sprinkling bowls. So Huram finished the work he had undertaken for King Solomon in the temple of God. Now, those pots, shovels, and sprinkling bowls were all used for different things. For example, the pot held blood. The shovel carried away the ash, or a picture of our sin. And the sprinkling bowls is how you would sprinkle the individual. In other words, we have not just been forgiven with the blood of Christ, we have been sprinkled, the Bible says, with the blood of Christ. And they would sprinkle the person who made the sacrifice seven times to show that they were completely cleansed by the sprinkling. So the number seven always means complete. You are completely forgiven, not partially. Luckily, it wasn't six times and it wasn't eight times. It was seven times that you were sprinkled so that you would know walking away, God has fully received the sacrifice made for my sin. Well, in verse 12, we learn about the two pillars, the two bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars, the two sets of networks decorating the two bowl-shaped capitals on the top of the pillars. And then we read in verse 13, the 400 pomegranates for the two set of networks, two rows of pomegranates for each network, decorating the bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars. Verse 14 talks about the stands with their basins, the sea with the 12 bowls under it, verse 15, the pots, shovels, meat forks, and all related articles. All the objects that Hiram Abi made for King Solomon for the temple of the Lord were of polished bronze. The king had them cast in clay molds in the plain of the Jordan between Succoth and Zarethan. All these things that Solomon made amounted to so much that the weight of the bronze could not be calculated. Solomon also made all the furnishings that were in God's temple, the golden altar, the tables on which was the bread of the presence, the lampstands of pure gold with their lamps to burn in front of the inner sanctuary as prescribed, the gold floral work and lamps and tongs, they were solid gold, and the gold wick trimmers, sprinkling bowls, dishes, and censers, and the gold. All of this was made, and if you look at the various colors or the types of gold that were used for each instrument, again, keep in mind that bronze was used for instruments of judgment, and the lampstand of pure gold represents heaven, the lampstand itself being a symbol of God's presence. Later in Israel's history, during the 400 silent year period, they would establish Hanukkah, where the temple lampstand miraculously did not go out, even though it ran out of oil. And that was symbolic of God's presence staying with his people, even in the darkest times. Therefore, those lamps were to be lit 24/7 to show that God never abandons his people. And because God's presence is in heaven, and it was in the holy place, therefore that temple was symbolic of God himself. Jesus, after all, was the burning bush. He was the bush that was filled with God's glory, on fire, as it were, with the glory of God, and yet not consumed, veiled, as it were, by human flesh. Like the old hymn says at Christmas time, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. So we see all of the things that represents God's presence and heaven itself in this passage. Well, read 2 Chronicles chapter 4 for yourself and see what other symbolism you can figure.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.